Hello and welcome to The Two Tones. It's episode 15.
Greetings, Tony.
How are you, Tony Volfo?
Not too bad at all. That would be episode Doherty, would it not?
Yes, it would. And now, am I right in remembering this?
Go on.
Vera Lynn?
Tony Lynn? Tony Lynn wore number 15.
There you go.
In 27 games. Great call. Yeah. I mentioned Ben Nelson. Now, Tony Lynn wore 15 before Ben Nelson did. I mentioned Val Perovic, great player.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Premiership player here at the club. David Teague.
Ah, yeah.
Wore 50 games.
Saw him play in Adelaide.
And also, Tony, the record holder in the Guernsey is Bruce Bugsy Common, the late Bruce Common, Carlton captain, later director of the club.
Yeah.
Tough nut he was too. And just for those that with the historic bent, if you go right back to the start, the first 100-game player for Carlton to wear number 15 was Jim Marchbank, to whom Caleb is obviously related. So a great number at Carlton is the number 15. Thank you very much.
Well, and it is I must say delight. I'm going to say it was a delightful game to watch against Collingwood.
Jeez, you've towed that down a bit. You were absolutely off tap.
Yes, you're right.
When you sent me the text.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, it may have been a 20-point loss to Collingwood, but let's put that in context. You lose Levi Casbolt in the warm-up, if you don't mind. Yeah. Gone with a busted finger.
Unbelievable.
And then in the first half, Cruz goes off and then Lachie Plowman.
So the performance, all things considered, Tony, was it was quite a brave performance by the team, wasn't it? But there was a great comment that you made to me in the aftermath of this game where, you know, for all that's happened, both in this game and all year, you said to me, I don't care what happens as long as Charlie Curnow's playing.
Yes.
And anyone that went there, it was a privilege to see that performance from Charlie Curnow. And that player, he's a special player. We'll get to it in a moment, Tony. I want to hear you know, from the long run, just extol the virtues of the great man. And what an excitement machine he is.
Well, they're calling him Curnowfides for a very good reason. And, you know, talk about aerial ability, pack marking, contested marking, pace. And what I loved about, and this is going to sound a bit odd, but you know, because it's a very human thing. He'd been re-signed that week and he's on a good whack because he deserves to be. Now, most people almost put the feet up. They just say, okay, that's locked in. Don't have anything to prove. He went out there and said, I will give you value for money.
I love that that comment you've made, Tony. It's a great observation. And it may be, without knowing, you know, what is bubbling in C. Curnow's brain, maybe signing for the club and putting that to bed was actually a relief.
Yeah.
And it allowed him to play with even more freedom than he already plays with, because he's just great. I love the way he's obviously been given license to use his natural talents to optimum effect, and credit to the coach for doing that, because, you know, players like Charlie Curnow are the players that get people through the turnstile.
Yes.
And you would pay to see him play, no worries at all. And, you know, with Cripps, you know, playing the way he is at the moment, leading by example, I just think it's great for current supporters who have, you know, had to weather torrid times of late, but...
And off the Freo game to see that complete 180. You can look at the highlights reel. They're dominated by Charlie Curnow, and for a very good reason. He's a tall marking forward. He's an option up front.
Yes, and as you say, you know, in the absence of both Levi Casbolt and later Cruiser, who was obviously pushing forward and was locked into a pretty good duel with Grundy before he went off, Charlie was flying with two or three blokes every time and somehow found a way. And all power to him. He is a highlights reel on legs, as you said. The mark at the end, yeah. It's just frightening to think what the future holds for Charlie. And, God, I want to be there for that ride, I tell you.
Well, so we talked a week or two ago about the young brigade emerging and the fact that too often the load at Carlton was borne by some of the older hands, Simo and et cetera. But this was a game, it was torrid. It was, like I say, it was great to watch. the midfield, there was just some great performances going on, and I'm going to throw the spotlight here on Paddy Dow and Kennedy.
Yes, yes. Well, great calls on both players, Tony, because beginning with Paddy Dow, I think we're starting to see him really emerge as a bona fide senior league player. You know, you've got to remind yourself that he's only in his first season,
yeah,
and he's still finding his feet. But you can just see with every game that he plays how more an impact player he's actually becoming. And you know, and then you mentioned Kennedy as well. Well, Kennedy, with his size and strength, just, you know, gives Cripps a chop out just by being there. And how, you know, as good as Cripps has been, in the absence of Murphy and Kennedy, for that matter, it's strength in numbers here, isn't it? And I just thought that Kennedy, with his physicality in an underplay and his you know, robust presence, made such an enormous difference to the midfield as a collective.
Yeah.
And Carlton benefited from that accordingly. So great call on both players, Dave.
Well, he's come back after goodness knows how many weeks off, but just slotted right back in.
Yes.
Has played that, as you say, in and under role.
Yes.
And was just great to watch.
It was
like an old a cool head in amongst the chaos, and he was just able to gather the ball and use it effectively for
us. True, you know, and then we see O'Brien, you know, also emerging and you know, obviously Fish, we've spoken about through the course of this year, Zach Fisher. It's just all as well to see so many young players now, you know, lifting a notch and, you know, who knows where their abilities are going to take them, but you can only help but think that it's going to be to the benefit of the Carlton Football Club. You know, these players, as they get more games into them, are going to be, you know, tremendous players for Carlton.
Samo's game, how did you rate that?
Well, again, I think there's another player that's actually, with every game, just finding his place. And I think what I like about Petrescu Seaton is that in the heat he retains his composure. He's a lovely mover. I love the way he can sidestep.
Yeah.
Blokes as if they're witches' hats. And he's a good decision maker too. I like the way that he uses the ball. And again, he's another player that's still, you know, learning the craft and early on into his career. But it's exciting to see all these players coming together and really starting to impact on the collective. And we were in that game for a long, long time. You don't condone losses, of course. But all things considered, to be you know decimated in terms of injury to personnel,
yeah,
to actually hang in there, and I think what I loved most, Tone, was that moment. There was lots of love about the performance, but that moment before half time, and it was an interesting comment that Fev made.
Yeah,
where I don't know why the Collingwood player wasn't called for holding the ball, because that would have led to the free kick being awarded, no melee. And game would have gone on.
Yes.
Regardless, it happened. The free wasn't paid. The melee began. And wasn't it magnificent to see P. Cripps tearing in there at 100 miles an hour and flying the navy blue flag for the team? And I just love that. And that's what you want. We went to the game, Tone, after that horror against Fremantle, just saying, look, whatever happens here, all we want is effort.
Yeah.
And that's what we got. And I don't think there's any Carlton supporters that could actually go home saying, well, this team didn't give effort and they had to turn it around after that deplorable first half against Freo.
You'd give P. Cripps just 3 votes for the melee. He was doing all the one percenters, the trash talk. He smiles as he runs in. He's like Dermot Brereton or David Rees-Jones. He's a man who thrills to a physical contest and shows leadership.
Well,
he goes, touch one, touch all. He's a one-man CFMEU.
Yeah. And you know, if you were a young player there, and I mean, not that Cripps is, you know, ancient, but if you're looking on and you see number 9 going in, you think to yourself, well, he's flying the flag. I'm going to be there to back him up, and that's what you want. You want, you know, collective buy-in here, particularly when the situation demands, and you have to stand tall. And I think there would have been a lot of players looking on, past players of the club looking on with great pride to see the old Guernsey, you know, valued so much that such a high premium was put on it by Cripps and the players who ran in.
Can I just
remonstrate?
Just at the other end of the colossus that is Patrick Cripps, Okay, so he's Patrick Cripps VC. So he goes, he leads his charges in that scrap. By the way, I'm going to get to my point in a moment. By the way, free kick count going into the fourth quarter.
Go on.
From memory, the supporter behind me was very keen to let everyone know. 28-11.
It's
come out in the Age this week that no team gets a better rub of the green than Collingwood.
Right.
And I don't want to bring that up as a reason that we lost or anything, but the disparity was mind-boggling.
Well, I knew we weren't getting a good run, but try as I might, I couldn't find the free kick count anywhere on the scoreboards at the ground. They may have been put up there. I didn't see them. And I was curious.
Games, so maybe they didn't want to put it up.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, you look at that. That's a massive discrepancy. Yeah, that's West Coast-esque numbers, isn't
it? Yes, it's crowdsourced umpiring. That's what it seems like, because the crowd, obviously, the more Collingwood supporters, they go up. They are more voluble. And I don't know. We can dwell on that, but it's best not to. I just want to point out that disparity.
You were offended by it, I can tell.
Oh, I tell you, geez, it got... Anyway, but at the other end of Patrick Cripps, he's leading his charges, running headlong into danger, as he does. He's an Albert Jacker.
You're giving these visuals as you say this. And I'm waiting for the clenched fist.
Okay. And then at the end of the game, he puts his arm around young Paulson.
Right.
And I don't know what he
that.
Said
that's
to him.
That's leadership, isn't it?
Yeah. Leadership to a team.
That is leadership to a team.
If you could distill it, there it is.
Yeah, can I say this about Paulson too? Look, there was so much to like about the afternoon. Paulson's a little bloke that really puts his body on the line.
He can lock.
He's a good lock, you know, and blokes that are in possession, you can drag him down. He was very good in the heat and... good on him. You know, he's taken his opportunity and like the cut of his gym tone. And, look, there's a lot to like about where the team's at. What we're seeing is glimpses, but we're seeing more glimpses.
Yes.
That's the difference. We're seeing more of them now. And you just have to think that, that this team builds together. Well, you know, there are exciting times ahead. No two ways about it.
Well, let's talk about Cade Simpson. We're going to touch on him for a number of reasons. These are his stats from the game. He got two more disposals than Patrick Cripps, who, you know, regulation 29 for him. He's diesel-esque. Cade Simpson, 31 disposals, 6 contested possessions, 11 marks, 4 tackles. One of his better games for the year. Game, we should point out, 299.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to touch on that milestone in a moment. But Simo down back was just magnificent.
Well, and again, you know, you think about the Simo's showing through 2018, the context of the season, you know, losing Doherty, the start of the year off halfback flank.
And Alex Silvani.
And then Plowman goes down.
Yeah.
I mean, Simo, it just seems that, you know, the harder the conditions, the better he seems to respond, you know. And when you think about Cade Simpson's career, he's done it the hard way. He went at 45 when Carlton was, you know, stripped of its early selections. So he's probably come into a club that was down and out, effectively. They've had, you know, limited success throughout his time, but, you know, there's a bloke that couldn't have given Carlton any more. And, you know, you just hope that those little legs can keep powering him through because, geez, if ever we get back to the mountaintop, when we get back to the mountaintop, wouldn't you love to see number 6 on the podium getting his medal? I think everyone wants to see that, and there'd be no more deserving servant of this football club than number 6. Up there on that last day in September.
Well, he gave an interview during the week. Again, this was in The Age. he talked about football being as it is at the moment, that, you know, a team like either Richmond or the Bulldogs can turn form around dramatically.
Yes.
And he was talking with a straight face. He's not a man given to exaggeration. Next year, who knows? Carlton could be in the finals.
Well, look...
And he wants to be there, obviously.
And he wants to be there. And you'd have to say that you're looking at him, the way he's playing at the moment, there's no sign of him losing a yard or slowing down. He's such a great reader of the play and you know, he's heroic in the way he attacks the contest. You know, you wince when you see him running back into packs. Always think of Ken Hunter doing that, you know, in his heyday, and somehow emerging with the ball. And how he's managed to stay physically intact after 300, given his size and shape, is beyond me. A nice thing happened, Tone, before today's podcast, that I was ploughing through Simo's photographic archive and going right back to the early days. But there was a photo that I stumbled onto that, to me, basically says it all about the sort of player Simo is. I don't know exactly when it was. It was the last 3 or 4 years, I suspect, and it was up in New South Wales. And it was a photo of Simo barreling Mummy.
Bit of a size difference there.
I was thinking my own journalistic tendencies were kicking in, Tony, and I thought, geez, what a great caption that would be. Hey, Mummy, who's your daddy? And it was just magnificent to see Simo barreling this Leviathan in Mumford. And I looked at that photo and I said, well, if you're looking for an image that's emblematic of the sort of player Cade Simpson is, that's probably it. And I just, you know, we all marvel at the way that he's gone about his career. Can't people look at him with genuine pride because they see in Simpson a player that gives his absolute all for the jumper that he wears? And, yeah, we talked about earlier about a four-quarter effort and how important it was. Well, there's a bloke, Simo, that probably couldn't give any more.
Yeah.
You know, not only at the weekend, but, you know, for 298 games before. And you just love the bloke. There's no other way to put it.
It is a spirit exemplified by one Ed Curnow, can I just point out?
Yes.
Physically spent at the end of the game. Yes. When he fell over on the ball. And I thought that, you know, if you think about the
rotations, cut down.
And you think about that Simo spirit being alive throughout the group. Well, it's, as I said, exemplified in Ed Curnow, who I just thought was magnificent on the day as well. Just getting back to Simo and the press that he's had this week, he's the sort of player that other opposition supporters just know instinctively and respect. And you're going to talk us through, because we're about to preview the Port Adelaide game, but you're going to talk us through how Simo's week has been, because it has been quite a busy one.
It's been a busy one, and the club, to its enormous credit, is mindful of the commitments that, you know, invariably Cade has to meet by virtue of playing 300 games. So they've actually tried to, pace the past fortnight out for him to get a few things in the can and allow him to perhaps try and keep as much of a normal week as possible. But look, he's really embraced the week leading into his 300th game. A man of few words, historically, but I think...
Meets a man of even fewer words.
Yes. And I think he's really embraced the moment. And look, there was a magnificent occasion here at the ground yesterday, Tony, late in the afternoon. There was no one really around. In walked the 300 game players of the Carlton Football Club, you know, and it was incredible. In walked Big Nick, Bruce Dool, Craig Bradley and Stephen Silvani.
If you don't mind.
And then Simo walked into the room where they were signing Guernseys and before this historic photograph was taken on in front of the garden stand on the ground. Carlton people, look out for this image. It's magnificent. It'll be released later this week. And Simo was like a kid in a candy store. And awesome. he was just so taken by the moment and really upbeat about this opportunity, this rare opportunity to rub shoulders with these four Leviathans of Carlton for this history-making photograph. And it was great being out there, Tone. It was out in the middle of the ground because the five 300 gamers were positioned in front of the gardener stand. The lights were on them, really lifting their faces, and it was a misty sort of afternoon in Melbourne yesterday, and the gardener stand looks quite eerie behind. So it's just one of the great all-time photographs. 1196 players, Tone, since 1897, and only four have got to 300.
That is
extraordinary. And Simo's the fifth. So that is extraordinary. And you know, who knows how many more the little bloke has in the tank, but he's going well at the moment.
Oh, ask him. You've seen all four of them play.
I have. I was thinking about that the other day, and just that Nick and Dool played together, and Soss and Brattles got in on the tail end of Bruce's career.
Yeah.
But I've been fortunate enough to see the tail end of Big Nick's career. I was there in the 72 grand final, you know, saw him kick six from full forward. And he was always an imposing figure then and still is now. I've always said of Big Nick, and there are a few people in the room or in footy that when they walk into a room, you're aware or mindful of their presence. And I always thought of Nichols as one, probably John Kennedy at Hawthorn was another, and Bruce Dool's another too. Bruce Dool walked in yesterday and it's powerful. it's truly palpable, Tone. Oh. You would have loved it.
Oh, I wouldn't have been able to speak, I tell you. I would have been rendered mute in the presence of, God, that talent.
And might I say, they all wanted to be there for Simo. I actually got it up.
Because it's not, sorry, Tone, but it's not the easiest thing to coax Bruce Dool in front of a camera.
No, but I think I heard Nick say that to play 300, you do need a lot of luck, because 300 games is, what, 15, 16, 17 years plus.
Yeah.
And so that's 17 years of pre-season training, 17 years of physically and mentally getting yourself right for the contest, week in, week out, year in, year out. And that's a hell of a journey, and not every player has the wherewithal to do that. Well, history says that.
Yeah.
There's only four that have done it so far. So I think from the collective, there was this great admiration for what Cade Simpson had achieved, particularly given those four players have all been premiership players at Carlton. So they've experienced the successes that Simo unfortunately hasn't at team level. But, you know, hats off to the little bloke. They all to a man acknowledge the career to date of Cade Simpson, and they want to see him play on.
Well, it's no understatement to say he is a greatly loved and admired player, not only at Carlton, but I think in the wider competition. Now, Tone, you have the very difficult task, I think, because we haven't even mentioned Sammy Rowe, who was pulling
brave.
A post.
He was brave, wasn't he? To take on the ruck mantle, you know, go forward.
And Cam O'Shea had to come in literally, not off the bench, but off the, one of the Great Southern Stand.
Yeah, well, he was probably munching on a 4-20, you know, when he got the tap on the shoulder, Tone. And look, there's so many other players. Like, I was just thinking, as you were talking then about Sam Rowe, Jack Silvani. Now, yeah. Jack, pushing up midfield and really getting into the contest. I like that move. I commend the coach for the players for their buy-in in shutting Collingwood's running game down.
Yeah.
And they were locked into a real struggle with Carlton, which is exactly what we wanted.
Yep.
They were playing the way we wanted them to play. And, you know, we lost those three players, as you said earlier. It didn't help. But by crikey, we're in that game for a long time. And Collingwood have been up and about too.
Yeah.
So, oh, there was so much to like.
There really was. And, yeah, so I just think just a special mention to Sammy Rowe for, well, he was up forward, then he was in the ruck.
Yes.
And
yes. He's a great team player, yeah, Sam Rowe. Yeah. You know, whatever is required from the team, he'll do.
Yep.
And
you have so cool. The most unenviable job of having to sift through all of those individual performances and giving us your one, two and three.
Yes, well, I suppose I preface it with an apology. Those players we have mentioned, Tony, that won't get into the votes for the coveted Two Tones Award. But I did give one vote to Paddy Dow, the Rising Star winner for this week. You know, there's a player that's really starting to make his presence felt. Love the way he plays. Really attacks the ball. You know, playmaker. Good kid. Really, really like him. Sir Charles Curnow, Esquire, two votes. What an excitement machine he is. You know, can you mention the highlights reel 10 years from now, Tone?
Can we just say, I mean, IVF is remarkable technology, and Mrs. Curnow, if you... there's still time to just do something for the club. between the two Curnows, they were just incredible. And, look, Charlie's performance is... He's been threatening that kind of breakout game.
Yes.
And
and really, we needed him at the weekend. As I said earlier, you know, he was a lone hand up forward with Levi going down and Cruiser not being out there to push forward. So it wasn't unusual to see Charlie flying with two or three hanging off him, which probably gets us to our best player of field, Tone, who's accustomed to having four or five blokes hanging off him, and that's the man that led Carlton from the front. We talked about him earlier, Patrick Cripps, and I declared Tony about a month ago over this very airwave that P. Cripps, just look at him as a smoky for the medal, because you know, five's out of contention now. There's a few players that were thereabouts that probably aren't going to feature.
Yeah.
And Cripps, I know he's played in teams that have lost, and but I think on sheer weight of numbers, he has to capture the imagination of the umpires. And it'll be very, very interesting to see how well he polls at the end of the year. But I think he's thereabouts. I really do.
Well, you are under the nose of the umpires when you're touching the ball 29 times, 20 of them contested. You're tackling 9 times, kicking 3 goals.
They're staggering numbers, aren't they? They are just staggering numbers. And those numbers are compelling, you know. And as you say, they cannot be ignored. So it will be very, very interesting to see how he polls in the 2018 Brownlow Medal, Tony.
Well, if he does win it, it's proof to me that the system ain't broken. In fact, it does award truly the best and fairest, because Patrick Cripps, he's just freakish. He's just won right out of the box. Thank you for that, Tone, for those 3 votes. Now we're going to preview the Port Adelaide game. I don't know what's going on with the scheduling over this round, Tone. I find it quite odd. We have Sydney and Richmond at Etihad Stadium, and we have Carlton and Port Adelaide at the MCG.
Yeah. You think they've got that skew-if, do you?
A little bit skew-if, I'll be quite honest.
I suppose with the fixturing, Tony, though, that you can never be sure, can you?
Yeah, I guess so.
At the start of the year, where teams are going to be at, you know, 14, 15 rounds in.
I guess it's a pretty safe bet, though, Tone, you'd have to say, wouldn't you, that Richmond, Sydney
would be up there.
Is going to be a crowd pleaser. But anyway, look, greater minds than ours are on this job. Now, it's Cade Simpson's 300th, and there are 7 possible returns.
Well, it's staggering. I mean, you know, you think, well, okay, 3 were lost in the course of last weekend's match, and, you know, even before the game. However, there's obviously players in the mix that are returning from injury, you know, and you look at the names here, Cunningham, you know, Kieran Byrne, Patrick Kerr, all good young players for Carlton that are thereabouts. And, of course, the captain, Mark Murphy, is, for all intents and purposes, ready to go. So what a great opportunity for Murph, you know, to come back and really, you know, make an impression on this match, given the conjecture and all the, you know, the comment and what have you, the white noise that's been circulating about him and what the future holds. And the other player, of course, that has to be factored in, I think, is Jared Pickett. Now, Jared Pickett was flying in the pre-season, and then, unfortunately, that ridiculous injury, you know, breaking his hand here, and has been sidelined for a fair period of the season. But he's had, a game, maybe 2 back now in the Northern Blues. And I'd just love to see him play. I would love to see him out there this weekend. Whether he's cherry ripe, ready to go, only the selectors probably know, and Jared himself. But, geez, I'd love to see him run out.
Well, you imagine the loose ball in the forward 50. The sort of... Now, Gala had a couple of opportunities over the weekend to really nail those kind of opportunistic goals.
Yes, yes.
And because of pressure or whatever, he wasn't able to. I just see Pickett just that being meat and drink to a player like him. If that's how he's to be used.
Yeah, he's got exactly what Carlton needs, hasn't he? He's got that explosive pace, that canny sense around goal, and we just need, you know, we need a player like that.
Yeah.
Really becoming a nuisance for opposition defenders.
Now, we want the Carlton faithful to get along, and I tell you, after the effort against Collingwood, there were a lot of Carlton supporters there. This is another really edifying thing, Tone, when you talk about buy-in. A lot of Carlton supporters turned up after the Freo performance. There are people, and, you know, we've mentioned this a lot through the course of the year, to use a phrase coined by Wayne Britton, sticking fat with the club. That is great to see, and I would confidently predict that a lot of people will turn up to see Cade Simpson break that 300.
I think so, Tony. You know, you would expect them to front up in force for the little bloke. You know, no player deserves his moment in the sun more than Simo.
And, yep.
You know, it's for any Carlton supporter listening in, it's truly an I was there the day moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
They have to be at the MCG to see number 6 again flying the flag for the club that he loves and we love, Tony.
Yes. Amen, brother. Amen. Now, well, look, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it's a gettable game. Emotion and Port Adelaide, we go back a couple of years. We beat Port Adelaide.
That last game at Football Park, I was there for it too. It was brilliant. It was when the whips were cracking. Remember when we had to make the eight from ninth?
Yes.
That was the last home and away game and we had to knock them over. And, God, it was good. Oh. That was good.
The game after Mick Malthouse was sacked.
Well, that's true. So there's been a lot of moments in time involving the Port Adelaide team that sort of stand in the psyche. Given the occasion this week, Simo, I think, played his 250th game against Port as well. So has a habit of tuning out the milestones against the Power. So bring it on. Yeah, can't wait to be there and to see it.
All right. Now, just very quickly before we go, good luck and thanks for the service to Andrew McKay.
Yes. Macca. Yeah. A great servant, Macca. 11 years as a player, 7 as an administrator, football director. A man that wants to pursue new challenges and a more loyal Carlton man you won't get. Fantastic to him and good luck.
Amen. Good luck to him. Amen to that.
And to Keith Warburton, Tony, just as a closure, a little sad note. Keith, the great Keith Warburton, 74-game player through the 50s for the Carlton Football Club. An acrobat they described much in the Peter Bazusto mold, really made it back. He died this week at the age of 90. And I was telling Lucy earlier about an interview I had with Keith Warburton that our listeners will hear a little bit of after the podcast ends today, where he talked about the moment in his own one and only finals appearance for Carlton against Fitzroy in 52. He took a knock from Bill Stephen, Fitzroy, an accidental knock to the midriff. Bill's still alive, by the way, and coughed blood after the game and later passed out at a club function and was sent via ambulance to Prince Henry's and underwent serious surgery to have, I think, part of his kidney repaired and part of his bowel removed. During that time, the players each donated blood for transfusions that he desperately needed. And in these times when there was very little in the way of information technology, supporters, kids, grown men and women were listening by radio for updates of Keith Warburton's condition over a 48-hour period. And the newspapers of the day were updating as best as they could. Yeah. There were vigils outside Prince Henry's from people who love Warburton. And thankfully he got through. And the great irony about this story, Tone, is that while Keith got through that game and survived a life-threatening situation, he was the last surviving member of that Carlton team that took to the field the day that almost cost him his life.
Wow.
So that's a triumph of the spirit. And just looking through his story and seeing some of the headlines here and the photographs, Tony, it's just unbelievable to think that it happened, that Keith Warburton, found a way to survive that horrible moment in time. Keith's son Peter also played 4 games for the Carlton Football Club.
Wow.
And so the players will be wearing black armbands for the late Keith Warburton this Saturday.
All right, but we certainly hope it is Port Adelaide who are mourning at the end of the game. Good luck to the Blues against Port Adelaide playing at the MCG Saturday, 1:45 p.m. The great Kate Simpson plays his 300th game. You've got to get along and support a great servant of the club. Thanks for listening. Tony DeBolfo and Tony Moakley are here saying go Blues.
Thank you, Tony. And let's play out to the dulcet tones of the late Keith Warburton. Thanks very much and let's see you next week.
First semi-final early in the day, I was copped in an accidental knock on the stomach from Bill Stevens. For one of the fairest players in the game, I'm just reading this bit about it. I turned around in the pack and Bill was coming through. He put his elbow in to protect himself and accidentally ran to me. As I was dry reaching all through the game, surrender at the end of the game, I was in trouble. Then collapsed at the club den. Oh yeah, I was taken to a nearby hospital that night. On that night, when we're having the tea and that, and I was bundled into a car, and we got into the hospital there, and they wouldn't look at me because after all, I'd never been there for anything. So they sent me, and I had to go to the Prince Henry, was it? And they drove me there. I can't remember who drove me now. It was Lexi Robertson. Lexi, a little mate of mine, Lexi Robertson. Anyway, we got there and it was full of drunks and everything there. In the finish, I collapsed and the sister come in and she put me straight into the operating theatre, and that's where they operated on me then straight away. And the condition worsened over the next few days. Anyway, I was in... I can always remember the fact that the people come in with all their blood things and they said it was unreal how many put blood banks into it. It said they saved the life of a 23-year-old footballer. Had a ruptured bowel.